Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our eyes, we pray, that we may behold wonderful things in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a look at these verses with me. Verse 1, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Verse 2, my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Verse 11. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. And verse 19. But you, Lord, do not be far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lion. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there's no one to help. Well, what if you were separated from God? Think about that. What if you were separated from God? Imagine, let's say, tomorrow, you have 24 hours completely separated from God. What would that be like? Well, some people might say, well, not much different, actually. To be honest, I go through most of my days without actually thinking about God. And maybe I'll get an extra 5 minutes because I wouldn't bother even looking at my Bible in the morning. Not much difference? Well, when you think about it, it's much worse than that, isn't it? If we were completely separated from God, we're completely separated from the one who made the whole world and the universe and keeps it going. All the good things in life come from him. Love, relationships, joy, all those things. If we're cut off from the source of those, then we're stuck. We'd know for sure that any prayer we prayed would just bounce off the ceiling. Any request for help or inspiration or wisdom, completely denied. You see, we're not created to be separated from God. We're created to know him. And if you look back in the very first chapter of Genesis, you see that when God made us, he made us, he says, in his image, in his likeness, so that we may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, the livestock and the wild animals and so on. We're made to live in God's world with a relationship with him. But, as we know, as the story goes on in the Bible, that relationship is broken. So we ask the question, what could separate us from God? And the answer is, we can separate ourselves from God because of our rejection of him, the breaking of that relationship. And this is what human beings have done ever since Adam and Eve. We've believe the lie that we can do things on our own, that we know better than God does, and so we're separated from him. And this is a dreadful truth to know, but it's true that our natural state is to be cut off from God. Romans 3, verse 12, all have turned away, they have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one. But the reason we're here today is because of the good news of Jesus, that comes into that situation and tells us that Jesus has done something about it. And this psalm, Psalm 22, helps us to see what Jesus has done. So I started by asking, what if you were separated from God? Let's ask now, what if Jesus was separated from God, God the Father? Jesus, the Son of God, separated from the Father. There's lots of relationships we know in the world that you can just think they're inseparable, aren't they? So Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip, inseparable. Ant and Dec, inseparable. Bodie and Doyle, Tom and Jerry, there are people you just can never think of being apart. And the same is true with God. It would be unthinkable of God the Father being separated from God the Son. He's perfectly united with each other. And God the Son is sinless. As he lived on earth, he was sinless. And so you could see there was no reason for him to be separated from his Father. It's an unthinkable separation. And yet, that is what this psalm describes. It describes Jesus being separated from God the Father. Have a look at verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? The first line there is exactly what Jesus said as he hung on the cross. He cried out this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's in Mark 15, verse 33. And this psalm actually describes incredibly well the experience of dying on the cross. Not that I've been there and know it, but I'm told that this is what it's like. So verse 6 to 8. I am a worm and not a man, scorned by everyone, despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. This is describing Jesus on the cross, isn't it? And in fact, if you read Matthew's gospel, he describes how Jesus is mocked, and he uses words just like this. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And this psalm describes the trial, in a way, the authorities mocking Jesus, the soldiers. They're like wild animals, it says. Describes the pain and the thirst. Verse 12, many bulls surround me. Strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Verse 14, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted within me. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, like a little bit of broken clay. My tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. So it describes the cross in incredible and painful detail. You know, one of the wonders of this psalm is that in the midst of all that, the writer is still confident in God and still cries out to God. So verses 3 to 5, he's the Holy One. He's always there for his people. Verse 9 and 10, he's always been there for the one who writes the psalm. Cries out, rescue me, in verse 19. Rescue me, deliver me, come quickly. In the midst of this experience of being separated, the writer of the psalm cries out for rescue. And if you look at the top of the psalm, you'll see it's a psalm of David. So David obviously experienced some difficulty where he felt he was cut off from God. But never anything, if you look through his life, there was never anything that was actually this extreme. And it was God's intention that he would write this psalm to describe, as a prophecy, the cross of Christ. And it shows us that the cross is part of God's divine plan. It's a consistent part of what Jesus came to do. And it's central to history, and if it's central to history, then it's central to you and to me as well. And if you think of it, Jesus would have known the psalm. It's quite a striking thing, isn't it? I don't know if you've ever been to a surprise party. It's quite fun, isn't it? You all hide behind a sofa or something like that, and someone comes in and you all leap up and say, hooray, happy birthday, and they have a clue it's happening. It's a great surprise, and hopefully you don't have a heart attack or something like that. Well, for Jesus, this was no surprise, this cross. It didn't come up on the cross, oh my goodness, fancy this, I never knew this was going to happen. No, not at all. He'd seen this psalm from a child, thinking he would have known it. And you wonder how it would first seem to him as he heard it read out in the synagogue for the first time as a boy, sitting there listening. How would that feel? And realizing and knowing that these words are about him. How did it feel when he spoke to his followers in the passage that we had in Mark and other times, when he said to them, I'm going to the cross. The Son of Man is going to be crucified. Knowing from this psalm what it's going to be like. How was it in Gethsemane for him? As he realized that the day had come, knowing from the psalm exactly what would happen tomorrow. It's no wonder he cried out to the Father, isn't it? That's wonderful that he kept on going. So imagine if Jesus was separated from God. That's what this psalm describes. But there's an incredible outcome in the psalm. Have a look at verse 22. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. There's a huge turnaround. And the last part of the psalm has personal praise in it, as he describes in the next three verses there, how he praises God in the assembly, how the whole world will praise God, verse 27, 28. And then this praise isn't just for now, but it'll be forever, verse 29 and to the end. So what has happened? We've gone from great agony and distress, crying out for rescue, to a hymn of praise, where, verse 26, the poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. But what's happened? This psalm describes the cross. It also describes the resurrection. Yes, Jesus died in great physical agony, which was a separation from God the Father because of our sin. And then the Father raised him. Verse 24, He has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. God the Father raises Jesus to life. And so when as a child he heard this read in the synagogue, he must have known suffering will come, but suffering will be worth it. As he told his followers that he was going to be betrayed and crucified, he could also tell them that on the third day he would rise again to life. He would conquer sin. And in Gethsemane, as he suffered the concern of what would happen, he was overcome with sorrow. Maybe the angels whispered these verses in his ear. Verse 22, I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. What an encouragement that would have been. So there's an incredible outcome. And the great thing about this psalm is that Jesus' separation from God means that we don't have to be, ever. Well, that's how we started looking at this. What if you were separated from God? Well, Jesus' separation from God means that you don't have to be, ever. Because Jesus, God the Son, was separated from God the Father, our separation from God, because of our rebellion against him, can be ended forever. So on the cross, Jesus took upon himself the guilt that we have because of the way that we've lived, the things that we've thought, the way we've been self-centered and selfish and rejected God. Jesus has taken that guilt on himself on the cross and accepted the punishment for it, which led to him being separated from the Father. You must have seen the illustration. Imagine if this wasn't a Bible for a moment, and instead it's a record of your life, maybe, or my life, and it's all detailed in there, all the great things we've done, but also all the things that show how sinful and selfish we have been. And if this is you and me, and God's up there, then this record really separates us from God. It's like a barrier between us. As he looks at us, the Holy God cannot tolerate us because of our sin. And if this is Jesus, then Jesus doesn't have that because he's lived a sinless life and he's at one with the Father as he lives on earth. But on the cross, he takes that sin on himself for each one of us, for all of us. And so he cries out with this psalm, my God, why have you forsaken me? And there's the answer, my sin and your sin on his back, as it were. And God looks at him and sees us and our sin. And he's on his own, suffering and dying for it. And where does that leave us? It's gone, completely free. Have a relationship with God, restored to God, a new life. And then Jesus deals with that sin and is resurrected to life, and we're united with him. It's wonderful. So Jesus' separation from God means that we don't have to be. So as Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's the answer. The answer is so that he can bring forgiveness to the nations. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. So, I'll end with a question. Are you separated from God? Two possible answers. First answer is this. No. Because I trust in Jesus. That's a possible answer. Jesus has died for me. I've received from him what he did on the cross, which this psalm is about. So no, I'm not separated from God because of Jesus. That's one possible answer we can give. And if that's your answer, then you're on the right path. You've understood and seen what Jesus has done. And this psalm confirms to you that this is God's plan for you and for history. It's a wonderful thing. The other answer, of course, is how are you separated from God? One answer is no, I trust in Jesus. The other answer is yes, I'm separated from God because I haven't put my trust in Jesus. I'll put it the other way around. I haven't put my life in Jesus' hands, so I must be separated from God still. And if you're in that position, or someone you know or love is, then you need to see what Jesus has done on the cross. The psalm can be a great help. Maybe you haven't thought about what Jesus did on the cross. Read the psalm and see how it describes what he's done. You need to see it. You need to understand that we're all cut off from God and need what Jesus has done. We need to see, we need to understand, and we need to turn. We need to turn our lives around. Turn from rejecting him and what he promises, and turn to trusting him and what he offers. Are you separated from God? Let's pray. Thank you for giving us this psalm, Heavenly Father, that describes so painfully the cross of Christ, and yet so wonderfully the outcome. And as we think about our lives, we rejoice. If we're trusting in you, we rejoice in that separation that Jesus endured for us, knowing that it would be there. He faced it and went through it for us, and we praise you, and we praise him for that. And we pray for those whom we know and love who don't yet see that and haven't grasped how wonderful that is and how much they need it. Lord, please soften their hearts. Grant us energy and love and conviction that we might gently and carefully share the Lord Jesus with them. Bring many people, we pray, to see, to understand, and to turn to Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.